Well, today has been, I guess not just today, but this week, quite a March Madness week. Maybe you're dealing with something similar. I wanted to share a little bit of kind of how sometimes this Lenten season can be a season of a lot of attacks emotionally, physically, maybe things at home or work or in your body, financial, in your marriage, the relationships. And to give you a little bit of perspective, what I'm doing, how it affects me, how this is something I've noticed. So I think over the last maybe a long time, maybe 10 plus years, I've noticed that in the Lenten season, there can be both a awakening and also an attack. It's no surprise I call it March Madness. And also, like in October, the devil seems to be out trying to destroy and to discourage the people of God through your typical buttons. So whatever your buttons are, guess what? He's going to press them. For me, it's health stuff, family stuff, work stuff, the usual things. And so those are the buttons he's been pressing. And as I said, this is not the first time. And sure, I have a little more perspective, but it still affects me. And so what I try to do is to first just acknowledge it, to realize what I'm feeling, what I'm going through, to breathe, to try to take a walk or reach out to my friends, my sister, my wife, of course. Then I try to talk to God. I must say it's not the easiest thing for me, but I've been actually reading a lot of the Psalms lately because of we've been doing this Sunday Lenten series on the Psalms. It's been really beautiful. And just today I was reading Psalm 31. And it starts by saying, David saying, "O Lord, in you I have taken refuge." What a beautiful picture that in Israel there are a lot of caves, and often David would find refuge in a cave. When you're running for your life, that's the place to go because there's safety there, but there's also danger inside these caves. Elijah hid in a cave, David, of course. And so David is used to hiding inside a cave, but here he says, "Lord, I have taken refuge in you. In you, O Lord." What a beautiful picture. Because let's say for me, I take refuge in my emotions and fear, maybe talking, maybe over talking, over worrying. But what really works is to take refuge in God. What is the cave that you tend to run to? Is it medication or alcohol or distractions? Maybe overworking, being the superhero. I find, David says, "I have taken refuge in you. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness." So he's in a cave because his enemies are chasing him and his life is in danger. He feels afraid. He feels concerned. He feels worried. He doesn't have a safe place. He can't go back to the palace, or he doesn't have his maybe weapons with him. Maybe he's been defeated. You think of Elijah, how he was hungry and hadn't slept. I haven't slept very well in 2 weeks with Easter stress, and my eye has been twitching and all kinds of stuff. And so, but David, when in the same situation, he says, "I take refuge in you. Let me never be put to shame." Shame is a huge thing that affects me. A lot of times when you're strong and you have maybe a plan of counseling and medication, and you try to take some days off and self-care, and you still struggle with fear and anxiety or with your eye twitching, you say, why? And you feel shame. Maybe you're not trusting enough, or people can't rely on you. And this is how David feels. He says, "Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me." deliver me. It's the righteousness of God that matters. I'm not a good man because of my own strength. I'm a righteous man, or I'm a good person because of the righteousness of God, because of the goodness of Jesus. You're not a amazing mom or dad or friend because of your skills or your strength, but because of the goodness of God. Deliver me in your righteousness, David says. And then verse 2, turn your ear to me, come quickly to my rescue, be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. I love it, the honesty of the Psalms. Turn your ear to me quickly, come quickly to my rescue, be my rock. He's not mincing words. He's not hiding his need. He's saying, Lord, I need refuge. I need this to go away quickly. Turn your ear to me. Lord, I feel like you're not listening. Are you listening, Lord? Are you asleep? Do you not care that we're perishing? Said the disciples when Jesus was asleep. Do you feel like God is asleep? Of course. We know he's not. We know that he does not sleep or slumber. We know that he cares. But when you have the perfect storm, or when it rains and it pours, you wonder, Lord, where are you? Why can't I get ahead? If I just had a babysitter, if I just had an assistant, if I only had more hours in the day, I could do more. But then that doesn't come. It doesn't happen. So what we can say is, Lord, turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue, Lord. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Beautiful, powerful language. I did a study years ago on towers, because the Bible talks so much about the tower of God and the tower, the a strong tower, and the righteous run into it. And all these fortresses, all these towers, that's what they were meant to do, is to provide safety and strength to the people, to God's people, and also to be a deterrent to the enemies, to not mess with us, because they have strong towers. And the people would often run to these little tiny doors at the bottom of these towers and go up the stairs to the very top, where there was safety there. They could see the enemy and they could prepare. They could shoot down the enemies from the strong tower. And David says, Lord, you are my strong tower. You are my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. You are my rock. You are my fortress. For the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set before me. There were all kinds of traps that David faced in the cave, out in the desert, that his enemies would put out, all kinds of dangerous traps and all kinds of elements of war to kill and destroy David, and God kept saving him. You think of the people of Israel when they were going through the Red Sea and through the desert. There were all kinds of traps of hunger and thirst and anger and snakes and just the wildlife of a desert. I mean, you've ever been to Joshua Tree at night? You hear all kinds of animals. They're not there to be your friends. And imagine not only that, but being out in a cave and having people chasing you down, wanting to destroy and take your life. David says, Lord, you are my rock. Keep me free from the trap that is set before me. Into your hands I commit my spirit. I mean, the very words that Jesus quoted is what David is writing here. Lord, into your hands I commit my life, because sometimes it feels like life and death. The weariness, the exhaustion, your family's dealing with stuff, your kids, you have younger kids, you have aging parents, and your emotions or your body can break down. I haven't slept well in weeks. My eyes been twitching and I have these floaters, and all stress related, and we're not even done yet. We still have more projects to go, and it seems like there are traps everywhere. What if I say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing or mess up? What if somebody blames me? The other day I scheduled two things at the same time and I felt so bad. I had to cancel one, and traps of guilt, traps of shame, traps of overwhelm, traps of anger and resentment. David says, keep me free, Lord, from those. I commit my hands, or into your hands I commit my spirit. Then at the very end, I love this psalm. He ends with one of the most beautiful statements in the Bible. It says, I trust in you, Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. My times are in your hands. David was very aware of his life as a young boy, defeating the lion and the bear and Goliath, and trusting God, learning to put his trust not in chariots, not in shields or in armors, but in God and in the strength of his God. He also knew what it was like to reign and to make mistakes with Bathsheba, with thinking that he was a more powerful commander and chief than he really was, kind of feeling himself, as you could say. And then, of course, at the end of his life, losing his son and suffering at the hands of his own family and being betrayed by his own commanders, and then being in a cave, running for his life. And then at the end of his life, ending his life well, God saying of David that he was a man after God's own heart because he kept turning to God. So he says, Lord, my whole life is in your hands. My times, Lord, are in your hands. Every season that I go through, every ups, every time that I go through an up or a down, my times, my life, every year is in your hands. Do you know that 2026 is in God's hands, not your own hands? Do you know that your success at work or at home is in God's hands, your body, your rest? You don't have to do more. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get A's on every test. Your times, your failures, your shame, your wins and your losses are in God's hands. His hands are amazing. His hands can hold the whole universe. How can he not hold you and your family? His hands are powerful, and they created the heavens and the earth. With his own breath, God created the moon and the stars. With his word, he created the sea and the skies, the sun and the moon and the stars. Will he not take care of you, O you little faith, says Jesus? My times are in your hands. This day, March 2026, is in God's hands. Your kids are in God's hands. Your family, your parents, your body, your finances, where you live, your dreams, your music, your house that you want to buy, all your dreams, the car you want to buy, the school you want to finish, is all in God's hands. Deliver me, says David. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me. Do not let me be put to shame. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let their lying lips be silenced. And then he ends at the very, very end, as he usually does. He says, love the Lord. Praise the Lord. For he showed me the wonders of his love. When I was in a city under siege, you heard my cry for help. You heard my cry for mercy. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong, take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. I mean, there's no better way to end this day, and I guess for me, this episode here. Love the Lord. Trust in him, people. All you faithful people, all you servants of the Lord, trust in him. That's what makes us different than the world. We trust in the name of our Lord, our God. Not that we don't lose faith, but we trust in him. Not that we wonder if he's listening, but we trust in him. Not that we don't make mistakes, or we run weary, or we grow tired, but we put our trust in the Lord. We persevere in his name. We take heart in God. We're strong in Christ, in Jesus. We hope in the name of Jesus. He is the one who holds your life and your times in his hands. I want to close with, now that we're getting close to Good Friday, I often think of Jesus on the cross and how they put nails in his hands. They say that the nails were more like on his wrist, where there's bone there that can hold him up. It's amazing how those hands that suffered, that were destroyed for you and for me. Hold the universe. Hold your life. And guess what? Jesus didn't stay on that cross. His hands were bigger and stronger than the death of the enemy, than the plan of Satan, than the nails that the Roman guards and the people crucified him with, because his hands are powerful and mighty. His hands can take care of you. His hands are strong and mighty. He's got you, my dear friend. Trust in him. You don't feel like it. Your mind plays tricks. You want to do the next thing and overwork. Trust in him. You want to feel and cry. You want to blame. You want to hate yourself or others. Trust in him. You want to feel alone and disregarded by the world. You want to blame your enemies. You want to lose hope. Trust in him. Put your life in his hands. Your life, your times are in his hands. I want to pray for you that this Lenten season, you will know that you are greater. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. You are powerful because of Jesus. He's got you. He's got your life in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. And he's got you and me and those you love in his hands. Trust in him. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you share, like, comment. I'm trying to grow my audience, so please share this episode with a friend. Thank you again for being here, and I'll see you next time. Adios.